for members only. Golf Smarter number 383, published on May 7, 2013.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
The Secret to Winning Golf's Game Within the Game, Part 2 with Dr. Joseph Parent.
This is Golf Smarter.
Welcome back to Golf Smarter for members only, Dr. Joe.
Hi, Fred. Great to be with you again.
And again, I really appreciate the additional time that you're providing for us all, because you have an Eastern wisdom about you that we like to bring with us to the golf course every time.
Thank you.
That was not patronizing. I really believe that.
Well, we've been doing this for a long time, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, we have, and as do I. All right, this new book, really, really good. If I can just do a podcast on putting every single week, I would, because I find it to be so important. I mean, it's got to be, right? Because even on the scorecard, they give you two strokes. That's true.
When you think of what par is, it's how many shots.
It's 36 shots on the course and 36 on the putting green.
How many shots it would typically take to get to the green plus two for putting.
Right.
So that's half your round.
Right, exactly. So, but because of my attention issues, I couldn't do a podcast on putting every week. I got to vary the topics or I'd go out of my mind.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, there's a lot more to golf to it than just putting, but it really is where the mental game comes in the most. And that's mm-hmm. what I end up working with students the most on is short game and putting.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've had people from, and I've always wanted to get you mentioned Dr. Craig Farnsworth, because just recently we did a show on La Quinta, the general manager there. He was on the show. I played around down there, and I would love to get Dr. Craig on. And we've talked about aim point. We have Jeff Mangum. So we talk a lot about putting because it is so critically important. And I think one of the things that I see more people struggling with than anything is reading the greens. Do you hold the putter in front of your eyes and try to make it, a plumb bob line? Or do you crawl around on the ground and do these bizarre positions? And reading the greens is probably harder than stroking the ball.
Well, I have a particular approach to reading greens that I think is very, very helpful. And then I have something in my routine that lets people get better at reading greens as they play. Okay. I think that's the really special thing that I offer.
Yeah.
The starting perspective is I like to quote Jack Nicklaus, who said, "I start reading the green from 50 yards away." Mm-hmm. And that is looking at the overall lay of the land. I start even sooner than that. I start before I go out for the round. If it's a new course, I go to the pro shop. And I ask somebody there, is there any direction that almost all the greens in the course tend to break towards? For example, you were talking about La Quinta, out in the Coachella Valley with Palm Desert and Palm Springs, everything breaks towards the east. They say towards Indio, which is the farthest east town in the valley, but it's actually breaking towards the Salton Sea, this very low body of water out east of the valley. When you go to Riviera Country Club in Pacific Palisades, where they have the Los Angeles Open, everything breaks towards the sixth green and the seventh tee, that corner of the golf course, away from the clubhouse, which is way up on a hill. So you want to know the overall lay of the land, and any particular major direction that the course. We were at the Masters. Every putt breaks towards Rays Creek at the Masters. And if you know that, it helps. It makes a difference in how you read the putts. So you start, before you even get on the course, what's the overall landscape? Are there mountains in one direction? Is the ocean in one direction? Then you come in closer. Then you say, okay, for this particular green, where's the high point around the green? Is there a creek nearby? Is there a pond to one side? And look around the edge of the green where there are bunkers. Golf course designers don't they don't want the water to run through a bunker when it's draining off the green. So the drain place will be a place away from the bunkers. And not only that, wherever you have a bunker, people have been hitting sand out onto the green. So they've essentially been top dressing it every day, and the level of the green near the bunkers gets a little bit higher.
Ooh.
So know that balls are going to break a little bit away from the bunkers.
Oh, that's
so,
a good tip.
So this way you go from outside to in, and then you start looking at the area around your putt. But you take all these other factors into account first.
How often, when you have gone into the pro shop and asked them about the general direction of where balls will break towards, have they ever said the sprinkler drain, the drainage? I mean, because when I've talked to golf course architects and asked them about that kind of thing, and they said it's always going to, there's no such thing as a flat green because it's got to drain, and it's going to drain to, you know, I mean, do they make the drainage in that same direction? I've never understood.
Oh, not that. Necessarily. Not, yeah. It doesn't necessarily match the overall.
Yeah.
Slope of the golf course. Every hole's different in that way. So the way that it's designed doesn't necessarily match, but you have to take all these factors. It's almost like vectors or arrows that you say, well, I've got some of it going in that direction, and then there's this counterforce going in this direction. Oh, you know, I think they even out, and it's really going to be straight.
Hmm.
So you can work with that. But the most important thing is once you've read the green and once you've read your putt, you make a commitment to get it started on the line that you saw. And if you roll it on the line and it doesn't do what you thought, this is where learning can come in.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I teach in the book, How to Make Every Putt. I talk about the post-shot routine, which is if after your putt, You made your putt. It got started and you're going, okay, this should turn out really well. And then it turns either in the opposite direction or it doesn't move the way you thought it would, or it goes way past where you thought or way short of where you thought. Then you say, huh, okay, I hit the putt that I thought was going to get to the hole, but it went a different direction. What didn't I see about the slope or the grain, or the direction of the break, or what did I see that wasn't there? And I have what's called, I have you be what's called the objective detective. So you drop your emotion about having missed the putt, and you say, okay, I'm over that. Now, what can I learn from this? Okay, I thought it was going to keep breaking, and it straightened out. Okay, I see. So that means the fall line was kind of in this direction. I need to remember that so that I just putt to the fall line. I don't think it's going to break across the fall line. And I talk about that in a chapter called Rivers and Fountains that talks about the pattern of how putts break uphill and downhill.
Excellent. Is that one of the chapters that has a QR code that we can see a video as well?
That is. In How to Make Every Putt, in the section on reading greens, is a chapter called Rivers and Fountains, and there is a QR square or code that you can scan in to your device or smartphone, and it'll take you to a video that I demonstrate, and you'll see a downhill putt that is curving, 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 and then straightens out and doesn't keep curving.
Wow.
Which is what downhill putts tend to do. Once they, like a river, once it finds its fall line straight down towards the ocean, it just goes straight. And then uphill putts, they might go straight, but like a fountain, the water in a fountain wants to turn around and go back to the earth any direction it can. Uphill putts, straight, 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 and just before they get to the hole, they break across and curve away in front. So you need to be able to recognize that pattern and read the green for that.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's stay on that section too. Those are the breaks from the new book, How to Make Every Putt, by Dr. Joseph Parent. And it starts with the secret to reading greens, the lay of the land, take the high road. You talk about putting a scorecard over half the hole.
That's right.
Now, that intrigued me. I've never heard of that before. Give me the details on that one, because I thought that was really fascinating.
Okay, well, you know, if you're looking at the whole golf hole, you don't get to focus on the high side quite so much. So let's say you have a right to left breaking putt, and you're going to putt it up the hill, and it's going to come back down and go in the right side of the hole. That's the place you want to be looking at for your read. So you cover the bottom half of the hole with a scorecard.
When you say bottom, wait, I need to define bottom here. Are you talking about
the edge of the lower the edge of the scorecard? I'll try to describe it as I do in the book. Mm-hmm. The edge of the scorecard points straight across the center of the hole and points straight at your ball.
Okay.
So if it was a dead straight putt, you would hit right, the ball would hit right at the place where the scorecard is at the front edge of the hole.
Mm-hmm.
But you're looking at breaking putts. So the high side will be open, the low side closed by the scorecard.
And the advantage of this?
The advantage of it is you see yourself trying to put it in the high side. The effective center of the hole shifts up to the high side of the hole. And you say, that's where I want the ball crossing the edge, up there. And that gives you more room. And, you know, Bobby Jones talked about this nearly 100 years ago. He said, you know, a ball turning towards the hole is much more likely to go in. That means coming from the high side than a ball turning away from the hole. And once it turns away from the hole and rolls down the low side, every inch it rolls, it takes it farther from the hole. So if you roll a couple of putts at the same pace and one curls around the hole above it on the high side and one misses the hole below it, the putt that misses the hole below the hole is going to roll a whole lot farther away. I mean, that's why they call the high side the pro side and the low side of the hole the amateur side.
Sure.
There's a reason for it. It's better... Try to play as much break as you possibly can and still have the ball trickle in just into the top side of the hole, the high side of the hole.
How do we amateurs misread it in the sense of not giving it enough break?
Well, almost always, that's the most common thing. And I think that the way they describe putts on TV actually is misguiding. And they say, I think it's just going to, you know, it's one cup out or two balls out to the right. It's really usually much, much more than that. But that's how they describe it. I was once at the Masters coaching Vijay, and we were standing on the green, and he was putting this on the practice green on a very severely sloping part. And I said to his caddy, you need to tell him to aim at this spot, because that's really how much break is going to happen here. And he says, there is no way that I'm going to tell Vijay that there's 2.5 feet of break on a 4-foot putt. But there was. It was really true.
Wow.
I said, then just tell him to play enough break for it to fall in the absolute top of the hole. And that worked for him.
Interesting.
So what happens for amateurs is they aim, you know, one or two balls to the right of the hole. But then when they make their stroke, they push the putt out towards the break or pull it across and give it more break. And then they think they did it right. And that's just going to be very inconsistent. What I would like you to do is read plenty of break and hit a straight putt right at the point where you know that you're aiming for that amount of break. Then, if you've played too much break, it's easier to gear down than it is to aim higher.
Yes.
So that's one of the exercises I give. I say, aim way up high. Aim for tons of break and see that it only gets within a foot of the hole. Then gear it down a couple of inches. See where that ends up. And that'll help you see how much break you can play and still get to the hole. And that's the ideal amount that you want.
I don't know if this is just a personal preference thing or it's something that should be taught this way. It's just an individual. When I'm looking at the line and putting, and someone says, yeah, it's just like one cup to the right, you know, I don't aim it for that spot, you know, at the hole. what I try to visualize is the entire line, and we talked about this earlier, the entire line that the ball will roll on, and I look for the apex. I look for the point where I think it's going to be the highest spot, and then it's going to, you know, then start going back towards the hole. So I kind of putt to that way, to that direction.
I think that that's good. One of the dangers of that is if the apex is near you, you may not hit it hard enough. So again, you do want to see the whole thing. You don't need to see, you don't need to see the apex particularly. You can see that, but that's part of the whole path that the putt's going to take, the whole line that it's going to roll on. And the most important thing you want to say is, well, for it to get up to that apex, what direction does it need to start in? You might not be aiming straight at that apex point because it may break a little bit before it gets to that high point.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if it's going to round off, it's definitely not.
Exactly.
I can't go right to it because it's not going to make a right angle turn.
It is not. So, and you may be actually aiming further out than that apex point, but right. You want to see the whole path and then see what the first foot of the roll is and set your putter face perpendicular to that first foot. And then you roll a straight putt in that direction. The only question is how big a stroke you make. But you make the same stroke every time, and you roll it where the putter face is pointing every single time. No pushing, no pulling ever.
Keeping your eyes directly, what about your eyes? Let me let you answer the question instead of trying to lead you with it.
Okay.
Your eyes.
You can tell where your eyes are just by, you know, take your putter stance and then use two fingers to hold the tip of your putter and look down the shaft and see where it's pointing. Is it pointing straight at at the ball, or are you most golfers are way inside. In other words, their eyes aren't directly over the ball. They're away from the ball, and they're reaching out with the putter. Now, what I found is it creates an optical illusion. You have less angles if your eyes are right over the ball. So it creates an optical illusion, and players tend to aim farther away from, if you're a right-handed golfer, they tend to aim to the right the further away they are from the ball. So you need to have your eyes at least near the ball or straight over it in your position. And then the other aspect is, if your eyes are slightly behind the ball, in other words, away from the hole, it's easier to look down the line. If your head gets ahead of the ball and your head is between the ball and the hole, you're kind of looking back down towards the ball and then over towards the hole, then back down towards the ball. Get in there behind it a little bit, and you'll be looking down the line and see the ball as well a little bit better.
And your eyes during the stroke. I know that I tend to have a tendency to, like, as soon as I make contact with the ball, my head starts to turn towards the hole, and that kind of screws me up.
Well, I'm going to go out on a limb here, Fred, and I'm going to guess that it starts to move even before you hit the ball.
That's quite possible. I don't know.
And I'm going to go out on a limb and guess that it tends to move slightly before you hit the ball. And that's because we have a human tendency to anticipate. We anticipate what's going to happen, and we want to see what's going to happen, so we tend to move ahead of time. What I'd like you to do is, I don't like to say keep your head still. That's a little too frozen. I want to say keep your head steady and keep your whole posture until you hold your finish. And then one of the chapters I have that's the end of the routine is, then turn your head to track rather than lifting your head up and lifting your whole body up to turn and look.
Oh.
So if you leave your body where it is and just swivel your head on your neck, then it doesn't move you out of position. But if you lift your whole body up, and it's what's called coming up out of the putt, that's going to affect your stroke. So keep your body steady. Keep your head steady until you hold the finish of your stroke, then turn your head to look.
Great. Great. What about looking at the ball versus looking at the hole while you're putting.
While you're putting?
Yeah.
You know, some people have done that. They try putting, looking at the hole, because it's the same principle that I talked about in the previous podcast. When you're playing catch with somebody, you don't look at the ground. You look at their hand or the glove.
Right. When you're shooting when you're shooting a basketball, you're looking at the rim, you're not looking at the ball.
Yeah, can you imagine a basketball player takes a good long look at the rim, bounces the ball twice, then looks down at the ground and then shoots while they're looking at the ground? Pretty ridiculous, huh?
Right.
But that's what we do when we're putting. So what I found is that we can look at the hole and the ball at the same time. And here's how you do it. There are two kinds of visual inputs to your brain. One is the visual input from your eyes, what you're looking at right now. So, for example, you're sitting in the studio looking at your computer, right?
Correct.
Okay. Now, I want you to picture yourself on the green the last time you were playing, getting ready to roll a putt. You have yourself pictured?
Yes.
Okay. You didn't have to close your eyes to do that, but what was in the forefront of your mind? Was it the computer anymore?
No.
No, but you didn't lose track of where you were. See, it's like daydreaming. You had your memory was the other source of input, visual input into your brain. Mm-hmm. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to use that so that we can look at the hole and the ball at the same time. After you take your address, this is part of in the section called the best putting routine ever. Excuse my modesty, but I believe that it's true. The best putting routine ever. part of that routine is after you've taken your address, you take a good long look and imprint the picture of your putt, the distance to the hole, how uphill or downhill it is. You look at the whole thing for 2 or 3 seconds. I like to tell my player to look for 3 seconds at that and imprint that image in your mind. When you look back down to the ball, take a half a second to bring that image to mind, to switch foreground and background so that you're using your memory as, and you put into your memory of that image, of that picture, and you roll it into the picture. So you're looking toward the ball, but you're seeing the hole at the same time, in the same way that you were just looking toward your computer, but you were seeing the green that you were putting on.
Mm-hmm. I
like
that's
it. How it works.
Oh yeah, I like this a lot. I like that. I was visualizing doing it while you were saying it. I like that.
And that chapter has a QR code at the end mm-hmm. that you can scan, and it'll show you the exercise of me standing with a ball in my hand, looking down at a ball on the ground. I look over at the hole for a few seconds. I look back down to the ball at the ground, and then I throw the ball while I'm imagining and remembering the distance to the hole. Of course, we use the cut where it went in. and then I look back down to the ball and I do the same thing with the putter and it does go in. That's one cut. So that worked pretty well.
And how many times did you have to do that shoot until the ball went in?
Well, I had to do a few throws.
Okay.
But after I hold it, then I only did one putt and it went in.
Oh, good. Good.
It works.
So you opened the door. Let's talk about the best putting routine ever. We've built it up for quite a while now. Let's get into it.
Okay. The first step is reading the green. And once you've done that, making a commitment to your read. You take your practice strokes and you make a commitment to making the same stroke that you would. And I've talked about this before, as if you were putting to nowhere. When you warm up on the green, you just roll the ball till you feel like it's coming off with an end-over-end roll right off the sweet spot of the putter. That's your stroke. Use that same stroke every single time. So you commit to your stroke. Make a few practice strokes if you want. You set the putter on your line. The putter face perpendicular to your line behind the ball. And you make a commitment. You say, I'm done with direction. That's the direction I am rolling this ball in with my best stroke. So now you've taken care of stroke and direction. Once you've done that in your setup, now you take your good long look. This is the really important part. You take a good long look at the distance of your putt You look back down at the ball. You take a third to a half a second to bring that image to mind. And then immediately you roll the ball into the picture using that stroke. What this does is it gets you out of thinking about your stroke. You're just reacting to a target. In the same way that a free throw shooter doesn't want to be thinking about their motion, they want to be reacting to the distance to the basket. So you're done with stroke, you're done with direction, you roll it into the picture for your distance, you hold the finish. That keeps your body steady so you don't come up out of the putt. And if you want to look, you turn your head to track. It's called turn to track. And you turn your head to track without lifting your shoulders up and coming out of your posture. That's the ideal routine. And then the last part of the best putting routine is learn from it. If it went in, congratulate yourself on doing your routine so well. If it didn't do what you thought it was going to do, be the objective detective. Don't get upset. Say, what did I miss about how I read that putt? Because I made the putt. The ball just didn't go in the hole. So what did I miss about the read? And then you look around and you'll get better at reading every time.
Awesome. And that kind of, it brings us back to separating outcome from process, which is total Dr. Joe.
Separating outcome from process, that's the whole thing. The golfers' most difficulties come from worrying about how the shot's going to turn out. And that affects everything that they do. When your job is actually just to get the ball started, it doesn't matter whether it's putting or driving or anything in between, you can't determine exactly how the ball is going to come out. Your job is there at the ball. It's to get it started. Once you get it started, that's all you can do. After that, all you can do is root for it. So in the same way in putting, how to make every putt, you can make every putt if your definition of making a putt is getting it started just the way you want it. And if you do, that's all you can control. After that, all you can do is root for it. It's like a relay race, Fred. In a relay race, what is your job? Your job, if you have a two-person race and you go first, your first job is to run the race, your leg of the race, the best you can. And that's your stroke in putting, okay? Once the putter head gets to the ball, that's the same thing as your handoff of the baton. After you've handed off the baton, that's your transfer of energy from the putter head to the ball, all you want to focus on is making a good handoff. What happens if you're looking at the finish line while you're trying to hand off the baton? What's going to happen?
You're going to miss the person you're handing it off to, probably.
It's going to be a bad handoff. Maybe you'll drop it.
Yeah.
Okay. And what if you don't trust the person and you don't let go? After you hand off the baton, you keep running along with them and hold the baton. That's not going to help them.
No.
If you hand off the baton but you don't trust them and you give them a shove towards the finish line, that's not going to help them either.
It'll piss them off.
That's exactly. So you don't want to treat your partner in this relay race as the ball. All you want to do is make a good handoff and get it started. After that, it's the ball's job to find the hole.
Go find the hole. Do your
and
job.
You know, describe that. When you roll a good putt, people describe it. They say, that putt made it look like the ball was hunting for the hole.
Yeah.
That's a common expression in golf.
Oh, yeah. I mean, how many times the ball went in, I was like, I knew that was going in from the time I set up. I mean, just, I felt it. I saw the line. I lived the line. It just, I had no doubt this putt was going in.
We have those moments, and they're great. And you'll notice that when you have those moments, you don't think about mechanics.
Nope.
You don't think about your technique. All you do is you see it and you respond to it and you get it started and you go, my job's done.
Yeah, but then you force yourself to try to recreate that. That's when problems begin.
Yes, trying to recreate that. The only way you can recreate that is to get better at visualizing, because what you just described was you saw it going in before it ever did. And I have a chapter in How to Make Every Putt called Already in the Hole. That's what you want to see. You want to see the ball already in the hole. and then you're just going up and doing a replay.
And hear the happy sound.
You know what? The happy sound doesn't always show up. The happy sound I want to hear is, wow, I love the way I got that putt started. Mm-hmm. And if you say that every time you putt, you're going to be a great putter. Because if you're not holing a lot of them, it's just about reading. And you'll get better at that as long as you keep making the putt you intend to make.
You know, wrapping this up, Section 7, it's the title of it sounded familiar.
Yes, getting better all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. That's what you want to be doing when you're playing. And that's what the post-shot routine that I teach really does.
Ah.
It helps you get better all the time. Because if you didn't make the putt, if you feel like, you know, something got in the way, you need to be able to identify that and make your routine better. If you did make your putt, but the ball didn't do what you thought it was going to do, then you have to work on your read and your judgment of speed. And that can get better. And what I talk about, what I really like, is a chapter called Skills Practice versus Performance Practice. Mm-hmm. If you want to improve your putting, there are two aspects to it. One is skills practice, and that is doing little drills that make you better at each part of putting. For example, if you want to get better at hitting the ball off the sweet spot, then you need to put you could even put contact paper on the face that shows where the impact was. But you want to roll putts until they all feel the same. You don't need to do your full routine for that. You can line up putts and roll one after another after another. Same thing with using the line on the ball to see if you're rolling it end over end and not hitting a glancing blow. These are all skills practice. But when it comes to performance practice, you want to practice the way you're going to be playing, which means one ball and putting to a hole and going through your full routine each time. Don't get careless. Don't shortcut it. Do performance practice and give yourself targets. So can I putt from different distances to 10 different holes on the practice screen, or from 10 different places to one hole on the practice screen, and not three putt. That's my goal. And I'm going to do my full performance, my full routine, just the way I would on the golf course to do that. That's performance practice. That's the difference between the two.
And it all really leads to whatever book you know, you're going to write, and whatever book we're going to read, it's all going to lead back to confidence.
Confidence. That's what my teacher said, had a favorite expression, confidence, what every golfer needs.
Yeah.
And really, putting boils down so much more to confidence than just about any other stroke, because it's not that complicated a stroke. And if you're not confident, then you're going to second guess your read. That's not going to help you, because you're going to have doubt about it. Once you have doubt about your read,
you're doomed.
Maybe push or pull or be hesitant on your stroke. If you're not sure about your stroke, if you're not confident in your stroke, you're going to get very mechanical, and that's going to take you away. There's going to be no flow to your stroke. You want to have a lot of flow to your putting stroke. And if you're not confident about your feel, then you're going to go numb, and you're going to hit putts at different paces, and you're always going to be guessing. And the sense of, well, I'm not sure what's going on, and the feeling of confidence is a completely different thing. The other thing is, if you're not confident, then some fear can come in. And if fear comes in, then you're going to end up with the word that I don't like to use. So it starts with a Y, it ends with an S, and it has four letters. And I have a bonus chapter at the end of the book in case you have, yes, the yips. If you get the book, please do not read that last chapter if you don't already have them. You don't want to be thinking about it.
You know, it's funny because my
if you have them, yeah, that last chapter is for you, and it will cure them.
Well, that is so funny, because I was going to say, the last thing I was going to say to you was, okay, so is it worth me asking about the yips, or is that just a whole nother podcast episode?
We're not even going to put it on the podcast.
Okay, we're not even going to discuss it.
You don't want everybody listening to it.
Okay, fine. No, then we're not going to do it.
Special special code to unlock that podcast. That unless you swear that you already have them, you're not allowed to listen to it because you don't want to be thinking about that kind of thing.
Right.
You don't want to be thinking about what could go wrong on the green
or
in any part of your golf game. You want to be thinking about what you do want to happen, having a positive attitude towards it. So whether it happens or not, if you have a positive attitude toward it, you're going to have a better chance of producing what you're picturing. Because as in one of my chapters in Zen Golf, you produce what you fear.
Right. Right. Well, again, the book is called How to Make Every Putt, The Secret to Winning Golf's Game Within the Game. And it is now, because we're publishing this show the second week of May, the book is now available. And it is in the Golfer's Mart at golfsmarter.com in our book section, Amazon, as are all of Dr. Joe's books. And you can also get the audiobooks as well. We talked about that, too. But you can get a Kindle version, the digital version, or you can get a hardback. Both of them are going to be available at Golfer's Mart at golfsmarter.com. Dr. Joseph Parent, once again, the author of the amazing Zen Golf and now How to Make Every Putt, thanks so much for your time. It's great to talk to you again. And as always, I wish you continued success.
Thanks, Fred. Great to be with you. We'll do it again soon.
If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, please click on the Hey Fred button. It's at golfsmarter.com.
Smarterpodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.